Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the MCSE's employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And considering we've had plagues and floods and earthquakes and eclipses and the Yukon women lost, clearly it's the end of days. So we're here to help you for at least a couple more hours of the end of days. So get online, 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Great game last night for the women, but what are you going to do?
Well,
can't win them all.
No.
But we're here to help you out. Let's talk about some technology news you can use. What do you got there, Dennis?
Well, speaking of catastrophes.
Yep. That's actually a pretty good segue. You're right.
Well, you remember a few months ago there was a major breach in Exchange Online.
Right, the cloud.
Which is the cloud email service hosted by Microsoft.
Yes.
Where some cabinet secretaries had their email compromised.
Right. This is the highest level of government being compromised, and they have special areas of this service where they house it. It's called GCC High.
Yes,
so and they you pay a premium. For
they
that.
Pay a really big premium for that. That is not cheap.
Right. The word "through the nose" comes to mind.
At any rate, the federal government issued a, in the words of the Associated Press, scathing report on Microsoft security. And they not only addressed this particular incident and how it happened, but they also addressed Microsoft's overall security culture.
Right, which there is a lack of in
and
security.
And they tore them apart in every possible way. And the way this whole thing came down was just, in the words of even Microsoft themselves, a cascade of failures.
Right.
And the only reason that you can have a cascade of failures in security is if you have overall lax security.
Right. But you still charge for GCC High, don't you? Curious.
They pay bucket loads of money for that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the agency, though, Dennis, this is from CISA.
Yes.
Now, this show has been on since 1995, and we've been talking about this literally since then.
Oh, yeah.
And now CISA has only been out since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So CISA comes out and says, hey, you got a problem with your security culture or lack of security in how you run your company. I mean, Microsoft's customers would benefit from its CEO and board of directors focusing on security culture and developing and sharing a plan with specific timelines to make fundamental security-focused reforms across the business.
Yes.
So stop messing around with a feature or screwing around with Teams or whatever you're going to do to, you know, making the taskbar not something you can have on the left side of the screen, for crying out loud. You know, let's work on actually having a culture of security. And they also want you to hold your CEO accountable. I know accountability is tough these days.
Oh, definitely.
To deliver against that plan. So this is CISA, the brand new cybersecurity agency of our federal government, who was saying to Microsoft, you got to stop it and focus on security. I mean, is Microsoft going to become a national threat to our own security? Probably. If they don't fix their stuff, they're going to.
I would say right now, given the number of government agencies that have their email housed on Microsoft right. services, yeah.
Right.
That's a national security threat.
So, and this is their cloud. You know, they had their big issues with on-prem exchange during the pandemic, 2020, I think, in the spring of 2020 or maybe 2021. I don't remember.
2021.
Yeah. All exchange servers had a massive vulnerability because Microsoft just retreads it. They don't reprogram the operating system. They just retread it, put a new year date on it and say, hey, this is Exchange 2016. Can you pay me some money now? All versions of Exchange had this same vulnerability going back to like 2010.
Well, that's what made it so pervasive.
Yeah.
Is it penetrated all the way back.
Right. And then, of course, so you have this big security hole that's out there. And you know, companies like us are running like around with chickens with their heads cut off, working 24 hours patching against this issue. The FBI is actually patching servers against this issue. And Microsoft goes and says, you know, since on-prem Exchange is so bad, why don't you put it in the cloud? It's much better there. And here we have this scathing report. Uh-huh. I mean, I could have told you so, but believe it or not, I did tell them so.
You did.
That this is exactly what was going to happen. And here we are, a scathing report from CISA saying Microsoft's cloud and lack of a culture of security has to be refocused on. And it really does. But who are we? We're just a couple of ding-dong, you know, technicians here in the studio. But we could have told you that, and you didn't need a government agency to tell you that.
Right.
I mean, we just kept showing you example after example after example ad nauseum. And guys, it's not just Microsoft. I mean, last week we had tons of Apple news. We've got right now, if you've got a Pixel 8 like I do, you got to reboot it and update the security on it because it's got a huge security flaw too. it's everything, right? I mean, Google has fixed two big security flaws in its Pixel phones. You just go ahead and at their high severity, basically, anybody in cybersecurity who would want to access your phone could easily have done it with these flaws being present.
Oh.
So go ahead and patch your phone, guys. Not that you're doing anything wrong. But again, all these companies need to focus on security rather than what they're doing. What else you got, Dennis?
Well, Microsoft is not the only company out there that has security issues.
Yes.
We're talking about AT&T.
Oh, those guys.
They had a breach a couple of years ago
that
we only just found out about now.
Yes, but they pay a good dividend, by the way.
And they now have reset a bunch of people's passwords.
This is a couple of years ago and they just now force password resets?
Yes.
Jesus, awful.
I kid you not.
No, I know you're not. And I'd be crying.
I mean, talk about locking the barn door after the horses have escaped.
Right. So they're saying,
how do you do that?
They're saying, by the way, a couple years ago, our stuff was leaked. You should probably change your password now. Unbelievable.
And now they're facing a class action lawsuit.
Right.
Which, you know, who saw that coming?
Yeah. That's easy. Know. The lawyers saw that coming.
Well, it's obvious.
71 million records, right?
73.
Who's counting?
Well-deserved lawsuit.
Right. So. Oh, by the way, change your password. And this was the email they offered them, their customers was actually hacked? Or they accessed
it? Well, I think it's, people's accounts on the AT&T system, I think, that were exposed. And it could include their emails. I don't know. But right. I think part of the problem was, the demographic information that was associated.
Didn't it include Social Security numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this goes back. This goes back, obviously, for those who are younger that are listening to the station. In the old days, when you wanted to get a cell phone, you had to have a credit check up the wazoo you would never believe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like you'd go to the car phone store and you'd sit there and they would be like, okay, I need to know, you need to know like three paychecks, your pay stubs, you need to have your Social Security number, we want to check your credit. They wouldn't sell you a cell phone until they knew you were going to pay for it.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy. But why are they still holding on to your Social Security number? They shouldn't do that by now.
No, that should be gone.
And now that's
at
risk.
Even if they do conduct a credit check on you, hold the Social Security number until the credit check is over.
And then delete it.
And then dispose of it.
Right.
Why do you need to keep it?
I don't know.
It's like the companies, online companies that sometimes keep those CVV numbers.
Right.
When you buy something online and have to enter it.
Yeah.
The legal standard for that is that those have to be disposed of immediately.
Well, you and I went to UConn. Yeah. What was your actual UConn number? It was your social security number, right?
Right.
They had all, that was your UConn ID.
Well, number. Back in the day, too, I think some states didn't even have driver's license numbers. They right. just put your social security number on the card right. as your identifier.
Right. But back then, we had index cards to pick out classes. But I would bet you, 60-40, UConn still has my social on their accounts, which would be crazy, but they probably do.
Yeah. Well, they would have to because that was your identifier at the time. And if they have any records, they have any meaning from when you were there.
Yeah.
It would have to be there.
So there's a risk. Ugh. There's a risk. All right. In other news, you're not going to believe it, but you probably are. FCC to reinstate net neutrality in the U.S. until someone decides to scrap it again. So this is again from the Register. The pendulum returns to the Obama era. Don't be surprised if it swings right back. So again, net neutrality, they're trying to regulate internet providers to say they cannot manage the packets that come in and out of their networks. I'm sorry, that's not how a network works. They have to manage the packets. If you have net neutrality and treat all packets equally, which does sound warm and fuzzy, you'll equally be miserable because if they do not accelerate or give quality of service to SIP traffic, which is voice traffic or other types of traffic, you're going to have crappy performance of the thing you're trying to watch or use or do on the internet. This is ridiculous. Again, it's people just don't seem to understand how the network works or writing laws. The net neutrality has not been a thing. How's your internet been working there, Dennis?
Oh, it's been fine, actually.
Are you not getting access to what you're supposed to get access to other than any censorship that might be happening on the actual platforms themselves?
No, I can pretty much go where I want.
So this is what's going on. I mean, net neutrality, it just sounds so warm and fuzzy. Treat all packets equally. They're not equal. So you can't. You have to be able to manage your packets. I'm sorry, but it's true. We'll put the link up there for you. You can take a look at it. I don't care how much you think you need to have this going. It makes absolutely no sense to our network other than making everybody equally miserable, which is a whole different type of political approach to running the country. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open. Yes, I know it seems like it's the end of times with all the floods and hurricanes and plagues and earthquakes and solar eclipses. But we're here for at least a couple more hours if the good Lord wills it. So we'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out. So let's go right to your calls. We got our friend Stefan from New Britain on the line. Hey, Stefan, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Well, I am shocked.
Yeah?
Federal government writing policy on things that they know nothing about. Shocked, I tell you.
I know, net neutrality, yes. They're protecting us from ourselves there, Stefan.
Yeah, not only just computers, but other things, too, that they know nothing about.
I know, we keep hiring them.
I keep trying to fire the ones from Connecticut.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah. I was wondering, is on your Computer Talk with Tab website, is there a way to search topics that you've already covered?
That would be handy dandy, but no.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You got to go and you got to scroll. You got to doom scroll our site.
Yeah. Well, there is a shortcut.
Yeah.
Control or Command F. And you can search for what you're looking for on the page.
Doom scrolling is more fun, but there you go.
Maybe it is.
Control F. All right. So there you go. There is a way to do it.
Oh, okay. You were talking about breaches and everything like that. Now, the ATT breach.
Yeah.
And it happened a few years ago, like, they got data from 2019, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, the breach happened in 2019, yes.
And we're just hearing about it now, right?
2019.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Yeah, good to know.
And they're just telling you to change your password
well,
now.
It came up because the block of data from it turned up in on a dark web site recently, but no one knows if that information had been on the dark web at any point since 2019 already, and we just didn't know at the time.
Right.
That's why I think it. That's why I said, you know, it's like locking the barn door after the horses have gotten out.
Yeah, right.
So if they had your, they can get into your account and everything like that. If they had your password.
If they had the password, yeah.
I think it had password hashes, but I don't know if you would directly be able to use that to get in. But as with any of these breaches, mm-hmm. even if the password is not included, mm-hmm. you can take the data from that breach and then match it up with other data from other breaches.
Right.
And then you might be able to get a password for somebody. That's where the danger is.
Right.
And especially when it includes things like social security numbers that are always going to be the same for everybody.
Right.
If you think about it, somebody might have a name that might appear differently in a different place depending on how they signed up or what they said at the time that they were joining the service or buying something. Well, social security numbers are absolute. They're static. Yeah. They're always the same. Mm-hmm. And if you can get those, you can pin down people.
Right.
And that is the real danger of those things.
Yeah. Wasn't technology supposed to make our lives easier?
Mm.
I kind of thought so, but yeah. Hey, what do I know? I'm just an IT grunt.
We do know a lot. We do. I mean, we do have access to a whole lot more information. I mean, when, you know, again, 25, 30 years ago, people were still selling encyclopedias in the books, the book form, right? Microsoft had it on a CD. You don't need,
I know.
We have all that on our phone right now. This is the question is if it's real or not.
Yeah, I feel much better about running Microsoft now that I've heard your information this morning. Yes, much better.
It's crazy. I mean, we've been saying this forever. I mean, finally a government agency has said it, but it's crazy.
Well, maybe somebody needs to take their boot and put it in Bill Gates' butt.
You can't do that anymore. He's already left the company.
Yeah, he's done.
Oh, yeah.
He's busy buying up farmland all over America.
And the guy who succeeded him was a left, too. That was Steve Ballmer. Now you got to go after Satya Nadella.
Right.
Okay, so put the boot in that person.
Yeah.
Well, they're starting
Good luck with that.
They're starting to.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Stefan. It's sad. I mean, it's we finally have these reports. It looks like the government's going to finally do something. But, I mean, we're working hard, and there's lots of compliances out there that all our manufacturing clients, and you get the FTC rules, which is for car dealerships and accounting firms and financial planners. You've got your HIPAA rules. You've got your PCI DSS rules. You've got CMMC 2.0. You've got NIST 800-171, all these frameworks. And just so you know, there's about 40% of it has to do with cybersecurity. 60% of it has to do with how you operate your company. Mm-hmm. But most of that 40% of cybersecurity is locking down Microsoft.
Right.
And training you so that you don't get tricked, because if you click on something within a Microsoft system, it's, you know, it's over, really.
Right.
So maybe we'll see some improvement in the products that we have here in the year 2024. I don't know. All right, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. I know you're all recovering from the women losing.
Oh.
Great game, though. Yeah. And congratulations to them. They did a great season. But we're here to help you out. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with those issues. Anything we talked about earlier has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Couple lines open for you. Dennis and I are here waiting for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. I want to also update you on something that's going on in Manchester. Wednesday, April 17th at 8 o'clock. We're talking about UConn basketball, which is great.
Yes.
But, you know, their music department, if you ever heard their marching band or their jazz ensemble.
Oh, those guys are banging.
If you think the basketball's any good, check out their music. So basically, if you want to check them out, UConn Jazz Ensemble and the Manchester Jazz Ensemble are playing together at Manchester High School April 17th at 8 o'clock. Free concert. And Morgan, our own Morgan Cunningham, today at 2 o'clock, we'll be talking with John Mastriani. Yes, he's from Southington. He'll be talking about the whole program and what's going on. And three, Manchester High School musicians will be also on the program with Morgan. So it's all connected.
Yes.
If you like UConn basketball, you can't not like UConn music. The one weird thing about UConn when it comes to all my boys were in the marching band, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they still had to take a music credit because being in the marching band didn't give you a music credit. So you had to take some sort of arts or music credit. The amount of time they spent playing their instrument, and it meant nothing to UConn when it came to, they got a credit for it, but not a credit toward that music credit you needed as part of graduation. That makes no sense to me at all.
I don't get that either. But that's the way it was back when I was there, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
How can they? It's just nutty. But check out Manchester April 17th if you're going to find the UConn Jazz Ensemble playing with the Manchester High School Jazz Ensemble. All right, let's get to your calls. Let's go to Jeff in South Carolina. You're not counting your Gamecocks before they hatch, are you?
I didn't count my UConn before they hatched, so you know, definitely.
Yeah, we're all hatched. We're all done. Yeah. What can we do for you, Jeff?
Hey, yeah, I'm kind of sorry for the UConn. You know, I was pulling for them, man.
Yeah. We appreciate that. They would have been a good game.
You know, yeah, the referees, you know, calling them calls at the last second. That's like them not giving you kids credit for what they're doing in the marching band, you know?
Exactly. It was a nickel dimer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the DAV that I'm in, Disabled American Veterans, we was going to get a couple of laptops for Adjutant and our treasury, and we was looking at some laptops. We were looking at laptops that we would normally get in our homes, which would be, you know, standard higher.
Yep.
But we only got like a $1,500 limit.
Yeah.
That we've been assigned. We saw some at Target. They were like $259 and $300.
No, that's not good. Not good.
And they were, that's not good. Why?
Well, go ahead and tell me the specs, but I guarantee you there's not much power there.
Well, we were going to get about one terabyte external drive to go with that. Basically, all they're doing is doing reports and financial reports.
I understand, but the problem is that you're going to find a $300 laptop is not a $1,000 laptop at a discount. Most likely, it's older technology, older generation, lower processor speeds. So if you don't want your financial reports quickly, then that's fine. But sometimes saving that money is not worth it. Double check the generation of processor, Jeff. If it's like an eighth gen or older, which I'm suspecting it's got to be at that price, you're not going to do yourself any favors by buying that low end laptop. You know, it's just not going to serve you in the long run.
Right. You're just going to have to replace it a lot sooner, and you may as well have bought two instead of one at the same time. It's not worth your money. It really isn't.
Now, you guys are a nonprofit, obviously, and they're giving you money to go to Target to buy your computers. Have you checked out an organization called TechSoup?
No, we haven't.
Okay, so TechSoup.org is a organization that offers nonprofits access to technology, software at a really ridiculously reduced price, as they should.
Yeah.
So you might find there's hardware there. Sometimes the hardware is enterprise grade and over the top. You don't want that because it's harder to maintain something like that. But for what you're looking for, you might find deals like laptops and what have you from different manufacturers. And you'll get more bang for your buck there by using that organization, TechSoup. It's a weird name. I don't know why we do this as IT people, but TechSoup.org is what it's called. And yep, you'll have to fill out a little paperwork to see if you qualify, which, for crying out loud, you got to qualify for, of course.
Yeah.
And you won't have to find yourself going to Target.
Okay. What about software? TechSoup, they offer that also?
They mainly sell software, and they sell it for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
I mean, you can buy Office for like $20 as opposed to $300.
Right.
I mean, it's really, 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 really inexpensive.
So, yeah, look at that, okay. Jeff. You'll have your money go a lot further.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. And like I say, you know, the Gamecocks fan, we're going to avenge the UConn loss for you, okay?
Oh, we appreciate that, Jeff. We appreciate that.
All right.
Give them hell.
All right. We will.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for checking in.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right.
All right. Jeff from South Carolina. That would have been a good game, the Gamecocks against UConn.
It would have been.
Oh, well. The old nickel dimer. Four lines wide open. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. But as we wait for your calls, as usual, we have some more technology news you can use. So as Microsoft is being, you know, admonished for their lack of security, whole German state, now I'm not going to say any of this correctly, but Schleswig-Holstein. You're much better at it. Basically is citing cost, security, and digital sovereignty as why they're ditching Microsoft for Linux and LibreOffice. So basically, this is not the first time a German state has done this. And more folks across the pond there are considering doing these types of things, because for the same reason we're looking at ditching TikTok, all these other industries are saying, well, wait a minute, I've got Microsoft as my it's in their cloud, sure, but is it secure? Are they taking my data? Where is it going? This is, again, going to be a bigger problem for Microsoft. But they're going to go to LibreOffice. How do you say it again there?
Schleswig-Holstein.
I like how you say it. Nice. they made the decision not because of their technical superiority, but because it values digital sovereignty. That's why they chose this approach. And that's going to affect 30,000 employees. So that's a lot of licenses if you're paying for Microsoft GCC High 365 that lacks security, it seems. So we'll see how that goes. We've talked about LibreOffice for decades here. It's an open source, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There's some issues with open source, too. Security true, issues that can true. Happen. Actually, there was a recent story about Linux having...
Oh, yes.
You have
there
that?
Was a, yeah, there was a, what you know, a supply chain attack, essentially,
right.
That was thwarted before it could get distributed into newer versions of software.
Right.
And well,
a backdoor.
All the big tech companies, and I think the federal government was involved in containing that. And so it was a successful thwarting of what could have been a real disaster.
Yeah. So there's always issues no matter where you go, but it looks like these folks are going to go ahead and dump Microsoft and go over to LibreOffice. You can check out LibreOffice too. I think it's free.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely free.
And you know, it works. It's got its own spreadsheets and Word documents. And
it even
publishing.
Now it even has a database component to that. It's not anywhere near as sophisticated as Access, but it is something you can use in place of it. So why not?
So, all right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. 860-4 lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be here till 11. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and the calls are all starting to come in, so clearly you overslept because of the UConn loss, and we understand. We're disappointed, too. We're disappointed, too. But, hey, we're here to help you out. A couple of pasty white computer geeks here in the studio. Here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns, and there's plenty of them out there. So,
yeah,
feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. Let's go to George in New London. Next, what is cooking, George?
Hey, actually, I'm not in New London. It's just a New London telephone number. I'm on the cliff of cutting the cord, and
all right.
It's not about me. It's about finding a platform that actually is easy for my wife to use. And I've looked at Sling and Hulu and Fubo, and Hulu and Sling won't give me the local stations for whatever reason. They don't buy them, or they don't have them, or they can't get them.
Yep.
Or they don't want them. And so the Fubo menu is very similar to what Comcast currently gives us.
Yeah.
And that's really what I'm looking for.
Yep.
But I don't find that in YouTube TV.
You should.
As easily to navigate. That's really what it's about. It's not, like I said, it's not me. It's my wife.
I hear you. My wife's pretty bad with technology, too. We use YouTube TV. And, and I'm not advocating either one. Fubo is attractive to me as well because it has Nessun, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, YouTube TV has a, cable style navigation. And you can also look at DirecTV too. They should have a cable style navigation as well.
I couldn't find the app. You're talking about DirecStream?
DirecTV is also selling.
Yeah, their streaming product, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't have to buy the dish. You don't have to get the dish.
No need for a dish. No, it's they sell the streaming. So I would tell you to check them out too. But basically, it also comes down to your hardware, right? So I like the NVIDIA Shield. It's a weird name for a streaming device. I don't know why they call it a shield. It makes no sense to me either. But it's a really powerful device that does a really good job with encoding all the surround sound audio you'd want to send to a receiver so that you can get really great 4K video and great sound if you're into that. I mean, you're getting that through your cable box, so you may as well continue it with your devices.
Yeah, I've got two Samsung smart TVs.
Oh, okay.
And I've just been able to go through the process of which was painful, but nonetheless, at this point, works. Verizon 5G.
Yeah.
And that is giving me decent all over the house signal.
Nice.
Very nice.
So, it's $65 a month guaranteed for 5 years.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah, good. And you're wireless. You're completely cutting the cord, which is nice. So, if you're using the smart TV's interface, that's fine. You don't need a shield. You can just use the smart TV's interface. So then you're just down to the apps, right? You check out YouTube TV.
Exactly.
I've not seen. Yeah. I mean, it's tremendous as far as we're concerned when it comes to how it operates. But Fubo, I would tell you to look at DirecTV too. I think they're going to operate similarly, and it all comes down to cost. So.
Yeah, I couldn't find the DirecStream app on my app menu. Even when searching for it.
It may not be in the Samsung app market for that television. Or I mean it may be in their market, but it may not, that particular app may not function on your television, so it'll filter it out.
Right, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So that's where a shield comes in. But that can still have the same issue, right? It's an Android operating system, but
true. They'd have to have an Android app, but Android devices tend to be a little more versatile.
Yeah.
So you might find that more apps work on it rather than just straight on your television.
Right. But he's right. These different ecospheres, in this case, the Samsung ecosphere, may not want to compete. They may not make any money by selling that app or having it available.
I really wonder if they have the app there, but it just
doesn't work.
It's not compatible with his television.
So yeah, you can bypass that, though. You can always get a device outside the TV and feed it into the HDMI jack of the TV, like I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
So are you talking about Fubo or Fubu?
Fubo.
Right.
F-U-B-O.
Yeah, okay. It took forever to load.
Well, so that's also a function of possibly the TV, right? So the TV is trying to be a computer. And again, back to the NVIDIA Shield, its purpose in life is to deliver apps this. So it has its issues too, and occasionally you have to reboot it. But your TV just may not have enough horsepower.
Yeah, it's an older 55-inch. It's probably 2017. That one. The other two smart TVs are 2 years older or less.
And do they run better? Do they run the app better?
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, there's your difference.
So all TVs are not the same.
Yeah. Like computers are not all the same.
Exactly. I
mean, definitely not.
one other quick question I mentioned to the producer. How concerned should I be? I have an ATT.net email address. Mm-hmm. How concerned should I be about the breach?
Well, you'd be concerned with as concerned as you would be with any breach that could have your demographic data in it.
Right.
Definitely change your password, even if they haven't already reset it for you. But I don't know how much more you can do beyond that, other than, I don't know, sign up for, identity theft protection or something. But I'm not even sure how good that is. If you pay attention to some of the consumer affairs reporters, they'll tell you that there's a lot of holes in those services too.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much that they can do at any given moment. So I can't really give you any other advice than that.
Yep.
All right. So change
your password.
change the password on that.
Yeah, and also turn on 2FA.
Oh,
if it's not already on.
They do offer 2FA service on those accounts, so you can get that turned on.
But again,
how do I find that?
When you log in to the web browser, most likely the web interface of their.
Yeah, in the web interface, we can see if we can find a link to that. I think may have posted it before.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll look at your website, and as always, you guys are great.
No, thank you, George, for listening. We appreciate you, too.
Yeah. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You, too. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. I have a weekend of fertilizing the yard. That's what I'm going to be doing. So we're going to have you change the password and put 2FA in an account that's been – all the data has been released, right? So it's kind of silly, right? It's, make sure you lock up the door after they steal everything out of your home. Make sure you change the locks. But it is something you should do, right? So that, if you don't want them getting back in as you, if there's a way for them to then read your email and then, it's just a mess. But make sure 2FA is turned on for everything you do in your digital life. Some sort of two-factor authentication. Now, even if it's a text SMS, doesn't necessarily mean you're in very good shape. I just read a story again, especially if you're one of those dinglings who buys cryptocurrency. You're losing a lot of money to scams, guys. Maybe you wonder about, I wonder why that is. Maybe it's your propensity to think things like cryptocurrency are a thing. But no, I digress. They're going after you. So make sure all of your stuff is protected with some sort of two-factor protection. The best two-factor protection is a physical key that you would have on your person. It's called a Yubico key. And when you plug that thing into your computer and you have to tap it physically, the bad guys can't trick that we've found so far. Maybe they will in the future. Who knows? But for now, that's a pretty good way to secure things. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to stay online. Joe, if you can, three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. And if you want to follow us over on the old Facebook pages, the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network is up. It's a private group. Go ahead and ask to join, and you're welcome to be there. We have the Facebook broadcast happening there. And you guys can work with each other asking questions about technology. We'll be right back.